Section 4. The Gospels. The usual consensus on the four canonical Gospels is that Mark was written around 70, Matthew around 80, Luke around 90, and John around 100 AD. These are all arbitrary ballpark figures, which don't really have much basis in fact. Of course, fundamentalists want all those dates to be earlier, while many well-informed experts are certain they are later, and I find the arguments of the latter more persuasive, if inconclusive. As to authorship, none of the Gospels was written by the person they were named after, or in fact by any known person. We know they were not written by the disciples of Jesus or anyone who knew Jesus. The titles of the Gospels conspicuously assign them as according to the names given, Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John, which designation in Greek was not used to name the author of a work, but its source, the person from whom the information was received or learned, as in according to the tradition of Mark. And none of the Gospels says who these people are. Nowhere is the titular Matthew or John ever called a disciple, for example, or identified in any way. I have used and will continue to use these names as if they were the authors, merely for convenience's sake. Although it must also be noted that all of the Gospels have undergone redactional activity after their original composition, so really, they've been meddled with by multiple authors. Mark was certainly written after 70, the year the Jerusalem temple was destroyed. But how long after is an open question. Some attempts have been made to argue it was written earlier, but on grounds far too speculative to consider here. Some scholars do still try to argue earlier dates for Mark, but only by rejecting a lot of evidence, such as how pervasively Mark assumes the Jewish war has passed and that God has abandoned the temple cult. These facts do not just feature in Mark 13. Mark also includes an apologetic for the failure of the apocalypse to have come yet, which entails he wrote many decades after Jesus predicted the end was nigh, which can't be any earlier than the 60s. The fact that Mark has Jesus say several wars had to pass first entails Mark knew the Jewish war had not only passed, but hadn't brought about the apocalypse, and therefore he had to have his Jesus explain this. Likewise, Paul knows nothing of the stories in Mark, so Mark can hardly have been circulating before the 60s. Even Hebrews and one Clement are unaware of the content of Mark, and insofar as we know those books were written after Paul died, that leaves almost no room for Mark to have been composed before the war. Much discussion hovers around Mark's Jesus claiming a pagan shrine would be erected where the Jewish temple once stood, and though, as far as we know, that did not come to pass until the Bar Kokhba revolt in the 130s AD, Mark still had to know the temple was destroyed to have such an expectation in the first place, and post-war rumors that Rome would do this would not be an improbability. It is, after all, what Rome eventually did. Because Mark assumes this desecration would follow the Jewish war and the preaching of the gospel worldwide, so he cannot be referring to the threat of Caligula in the 40s, which came to nothing and was far too early for the gospel to already have been preached to all nations, much less for several wars of nation against nation to have passed already, much less such wars as Jesus would have to apologize for as not ending the world. Since the event of Mark 13, which predicts the desecrating shrine, was to begin a phase of worldwide doom, accompanied by false messiahs, concluding with the end of the world, Mark was not retrofitting recent history into the prophecy of Jesus in Mark 13. Rather, he is conceiving a future apocalyptic sequence of events, but one that presupposes the Jewish temple no longer stood. Mark is thus writing after. For the best attempt to argue otherwise, and in the process citing and discussing the whole gamut of scholarship on dating Mark, see James Crossley's The Date of Mark's Gospel. In addition to the arguments I've already given against this, Crossley's argument from Aramaic is also multiply flawed, as we'll see in chapter 10. Really, we have no evidence that Mark was written even any earlier than 100, in fact. So it's simply presumption, really, that puts his gospel in the first century. I suspect Mark was written in the 70s or 80s AD, but only because its author seems to have the Jewish war still in mind as a relatively recent event. But that's a largely subjective judgment. Nevertheless, I will leave it at that until someone proves otherwise. Nothing is known of the author. Late traditions claim he was Peter's secretary, but there is no reason to trust that information, and it seems most unlikely. Mark is advocating against Torah-observant Christianity, and thus would have been Peter's opponent, not his representative. There is no evidence really that Matthew was written in the 80s AD either. He certainly wrote after Mark, as everyone knows he copies Mark, often verbatim, and is in fact polemically redacting Mark, as I'll show in chapter 10. But it is by no means a given that he would only redact Mark near to when Mark was written. And we don't know when Mark was written anyway. Likewise, any assumption that Jewish Christianity faded after the 80s AD has no basis in evidence either. That sect's existence continues to be attested for centuries, and though it certainly declined in size and influence in the second century, that is no help in dating Matthew. I will conclude that Matthew was written in the 80s or 90s simply to err on the side of the earliest likely period, and for no other reason. For the best but still occasionally flawed analysis of the evidence for dating Matthew, see David Sim's book, The Gospel of Matthew and Christian Judaism. Sim argues there for dating Matthew between 70 and 100, with 85 to 95 most likely, but he has since argued a date in the early 2nd century is more likely than he once thought. Nothing is known of this author either. We know Matthew was not an eyewitness because he copies Mark verbatim and just modifies and adds to him, and much of what he adds is ridiculous and literarily crafted, not eyewitness material, as I'll show in chapter 10, which is not the behavior of a witness, but of a late literary redactor. Luke also wrote after Mark, as Luke also copied from Mark, and I am increasingly convinced that, in fact, Luke is also a redaction of Matthew and therefore postdates Matthew. The evidence that Luke used the Jewish antiquities of Josephus for some of his material is also convincingly strong, and that would place this gospel after 93 AD. Many experts, in fact, have argued for Luke and Acts postdating 115 AD. I will conclude that most likely Luke wrote between the 90s and 130s, and then arbitrarily side with the earlier of those dates. Nothing is known of this author either. Late tradition claims he was a doctor and Paul's companion, but there is no reason to trust that information, and it seems most unlikely. Luke explicitly says he is not an eyewitness and doesn't appear to know anyone who was. And certainly, if he had Paul as an authority, he would have trumpeted those credentials in his preface. The scattered "we" passages in Acts are sometimes offered as evidence the author was Paul's companion, but there are other, more plausible explanations for those abrupt changes of narrative pose. There is also evidence that Luke and Acts has undergone editing over time, and even now, there are two different versions of them, only one of which was canonized. John, meanwhile, wrote after Luke, as almost everyone agrees, but as I will demonstrate in chapter 10. John is almost certainly a polemical redaction of Luke, just as Matthew is of Mark, only John employs a freer, less verbatim style. And this makes John the last of all. That John is responding to Luke is actually a growing consensus in Johannine studies. Likewise, that John has been multiply redacted, such that our version is not the one originally written. External evidence placing the Gospel of John's appearance in history is also the scarcest. It could have been written as late as the 140s, some argue even later, or as early as the 100s, provided Luke was written in the 90s. I will arbitrarily side with the earlier of those dates. John was redacted multiple times and thus had multiple authors. Nothing is known of them. John's authors, plural, claim to have used a written source composed by an anonymous eyewitness in John 21 verses 20 to 25, but that witness does not exist in any prior gospel, yet is conspicuously inserted into John's redaction of their narratives. For example, compare John 20 verse 2 with Luke 24 verse 12. And so he is almost certainly a fabrication, as I will show in chapter 10. Finally, you will often see cited as a source for early Christianity a document called Q, for Quelle, which is German for source. But this actually doesn't exist. It is a hypothetical document, whose contents, redactional history, and even nature, whether written or oral, are endlessly debated in the scholarship. There are serious methodological flaws in the defenses made of the existence and contents of Q, and it looks far more likely to me that what we call Q was nothing more than additions made to Mark by Matthew, which were then redacted into Luke. I see no merit in assuming otherwise without very good evidence, and the evidence presented even by staunch advocates of Q cannot honestly be described as even good, whereas the evidence for Luke using Matthew is very good, as I'll show in chapter 10. For the best attempt to rehabilitate the Q hypothesis in the face of this overwhelming evidence against it, See John Kloppenborg's article on dispensing with Q in New Testament Studies, Volume 49, 2003. His case is wholly unpersuasive, ignoring all the positive evidence of definite borrowing, only some of which I will survey in Chapter 10, and then arguing solely from what he insists Luke should have done, relying on arbitrary psychic knowledge of the methods and intentions of Luke in using and adapting Matthew, which is no more reliable than any alternative set of assumptions about Luke's designs, and there are more such alternatives that dispense with Q than require it. And yet, Kloppenborg concedes that Q's existence is only, quote-unquote, at least as plausible as its absence, and that defenders of Q are far too confident in their assertions. In other words, even Kloppenborg admits we don't really know there was a Q. The best case for anything like Q proposed so far is Dennis MacDonald's theory that there was a whole lost gospel, which was also used as a source by Mark, but his reconstruction of it is highly speculative. And even if such a text existed, he concedes it was mostly, if not wholly, fictional, essentially just a rewrite of Deuteronomy with Jesus in the place of Moses. And in any event, even if Q existed in the traditional sense, it was clearly just another gospel no different in character from the gospels we have, complete with narratives and conversations, such as narratives about John the Baptist and Jesus' interactions with the centurion of Capernaum. And not just a list of sayings, as Q is sometimes described. And since we don't have it, and thus don't know all of what it said or even the whole context of what we might infer it did say, we can draw no usable conclusions about its date or reliability. Accordingly, when I treat the Gospels, the only actual evidence we have, I will only regard as reliable what is in the Gospels. I am thereby dismissing all other hypothetical sources as well, such as the so-called signs gospel or the speculated sources behind the unique material in Matthew and so on, as all being mere speculation and therefore not evidence.